You're listening to the Wool Academy podcast. This is episode number 21.
Hello and welcome. My name is Elizabeth Van Delden, and once a week we talk to an industry expert from the wool industry supply chain, from farm to fashion and beyond, delivering strategies and insights to be successful in wool and showcasing those beautiful stories wool has to tell.
Today on the show, we welcome Philip Attard. Philip is a wool grower based in New South Wales, Australia. Welcome, Philip. It's great to have you on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
Great. And I only gave a very short introduction about you today, so please tell us more about yourself and your business.
Look, I'm an unusual kind of a wool grower because I spent 33 years in the IT industry. And there I learned how important it is to question everything that you do and to see whether it can be done better. A lot of people learn these things in other ways, but that's where I got my first bit of learning. Once we had the responsibility for Gostwick in 2001, then we sought to work out what it is we really wanted to do and how we wanted to go about it on the farm. It was clear that the costs were going up and the prices of the products that we produce were not moving at the same rate. So therefore, we needed to be much more efficient about it, and we needed to be able to save costs, but also find a way to get more money for what we produced. Gostwick itself is a property that has been in my wife's family since 1834, and Alison is a direct descendant of Henry Denger. With such a long history and tradition, our whole family feels a very strong bond with the traditions and responsibility, and we needed to do everything we could in order to manage the land and as well as look after all our animals in the best way that that we possibly could. So my job back in 2006 was to look at what was the world's best practice when it came to grazing and wool growing.
So you came to wool growing kind of at a later stage. You weren't always involved in wool growing, but what fascinates you about growing wool?
Look, one of the first things I found is that there are many types of wool, and once you learn how wool has evolved, especially in the past 40 or 50 years, you realize that wool is a word that covers many kinds of fibers and many kinds of uses of wool. At Gostwick, we decided to grow wool that is totally comfortable next to the skin. During the past 25 years, we have reduced the fiber diameter so that we can now deliver a total comfort merino with great confidence. We do this by testing every single fleece at shearing time and through the selection of the sheep and rams that we use in our breeding program.
Yeah, I think we'll go into that a little bit more later as well. But before we do, you already started in the beginning when you talked about your business and your farm. What are the different income streams that your business has? Can you give us a little bit more details?
Sure. Well, besides the ultra-fine merino, we also have beef cattle. And we also produce some first-cross lambs for meat. So these are lambs that have a different sire, a different ram to the merino ram. We also export a good proportion of our wool ourselves. And recently we started a baby wear brand called Henry and Grace using 100% Gostwick merino as well.
Yeah, and yeah, I think that's also something we'll go a little bit deeper later on. But before we do, what would a typical day look like for you?
Look, you know, what I do is not very much on farm, but I do a great deal of the planning work and management, as well as some of the other businesses that we are involved in outside of the outside of the farm. So, but generally, I like to wake up reasonably early. Some days I meet with the manager, have a look at what's going on the farm and what is needed there, and then the rest of the time is unfortunately spent in an office doing all kinds of paperwork and management work. I also spend a fair bit of time traveling. Most of it is for business, but we also do a reasonable amount of business for pleasure, travel for pleasure as well.
But I assume, even though you're in the office, you have a nice view looking out into the pastures and seeing some sheep?
Well, right now I have a fabulous view because it's raining.
Oh.
I look out at the garden, and for us graziers, it can never rain enough. We love rain.
Yeah, I think that's a very good philosophy. We should also apply that here in Europe, where we always moan about the rain. There's that thinking there's always someone happy, at least the farmers will be happy about it. And many people can't really imagine what a wool growing farm looks like. So can you give us a little bit more details, like where is your farm located? How should we imagine your farm and what is so special about it?
Sure. Well, Gostwick is in the New England Tablelands in New South Wales, which is halfway between Sydney and Brisbane, about 80 kilometres from the east coast. It's on a tableland, so our altitude starts at the lowest end at 1,050 meters, and we go up to about 1,170 meters. So in winter, it's quite cold. We have -4, -6 degrees usually at night, and in summertime, usually our maximum temperature is about 33 degrees. This year we have had a number of days that was higher than that, but it's been an unusual summer. We're on 2,600 hectares, and the way that we are doing our grazing is quite different, certainly very different to when Alison and I took responsibility for the farm in 2001. We have what is known as a time-controlled grazing, where all the animals on the farm are moved every twice a week on Mondays and Thursdays. And we do that because that allows us to provide fresh nutrition to all the animals all the time. And it also stops things like overgrazing in any one area. That required us to put in a great deal of infrastructure, the biggest of which was to provide water in every area where the animals were going to graze. But that meant that every sheep and every cow was going to receive fresh reticulated water, rather than needing to drink from dams or rivers or streams. That also has a very important environmental benefit for the rivers and the streams, and a very good health benefit for the sheep and the cattle, because it means that everyone is getting clean water, not just the first few that go to the river or the dam. It's a very important factor for us, and very important for the health and well-being of the sheep and cattle as well.
And when you switched to this grazing method, did you also see changes in the, like, your soil and grass and biodiversity? Because a lot of farmers also talk about these kind of benefits that they see happening once they change to a different grazing pattern.
That was the main reason that we wanted to do that. We saw that there was a great deal of risk of overgrazing in the old systems. And by having the time-controlled grazing, it meant that we could provide rest for that grazing area. So when they go into area number one, for example, and they keep going on into area number two, three, four, and so on, we can decide how long it will take before they come back to that area number one. And sometimes for us, it can be as long as 120 days or 150 days, depending on the situation and depending on the weather and how much rain we've had and so on. It also gives us the opportunity to graze with cattle first and sheep second, for example, which reduces risk of some parasites that we find in this area. And therefore, it means that the amount of chemical that we have to use in order to treat our sheep and keep them healthy is now a very small fraction of what used to happen before, back in 2000. That's extremely good for the sheep and cattle, and it's also extremely good for the soils because you have much fewer chemicals going into the soil. It means as well that because of that approach and that healthy environment, that we are much more productive. We can grow more grass this way, and we can look after our soils and our pastures far better. At any time, we know that, for example, if it has not rained for some time, we will have to reduce the amount of stock that we have on the farm in order to make sure that we don't damage our soils and pastures.
Oh, thank you for giving those details. And I always find that very interesting to see what all good happens when you just change the grazing method. So thank you for sharing that. And you mentioned earlier that when you started on your Goswick farm that you had to face higher costs by not achieving the higher income as well. And you did something that is not very typical. You started your own wool brand, so to say, Goswick Merino. What made you, tell us a little bit about this process and what was your thinking about it and how you did it?
Well, what we realized is that there was an increasing number of consumers that wanted to know where their natural fibers were coming from. When it came to wool, to merino, that was a lot more complex because you needed to go through a number of processes before you end up with a yarn and a fabric and a garment. As we had done all this other work in order to protect our soils and pastures and the environment and the ecology on the farm, we started realizing that these things were the kind of questions that consumers were asking. They were also asking how the sheep were being treated on the farm. And as you know, there is a process called mulesing, which a number of graziers find necessary in order to maintain or reduce the amount of fly strike on sheep. Through our grazing systems, we found that we were able to give up that process back in 2005. And this was something that some of the retailers were looking for. So we're able to offer them a story as to how the wool is grown, how the soils and pastures are maintained, what we do in order to do that, and then also need it to be able to get 100% of our merino to that retailer. So we went looking for a processing chain that allowed us to do that. Luckily, we were able to find partners to work with back in 2006 and 2007. And that meant that we could provide retailers with 100% Gostwick Merino and also guarantee them the quality and comfort level of our wool. We could do that because we test every single fleece immediately after shearing. And we test it with a laser scan in order to know what the micron of that fleece is. So with that information, together with the testing that the wool classer does, we were able to create three levels of our micron ranges, and the maximum of which is at 17.3. So that is a range that goes between 15.6 micron to 17.3 micron. And these days, the micron average in that range is 16 micron or 16.1. We also have a second range, which is between 14.6 and 15.5. That is an extremely fine fiber, which is finer than the average cashmere. I believe the average cashmere is about 16.5 to 16.8. And it meant that by doing that, we can guarantee the comfort factor next to the skin. We, some years later, were able to use a device called the Wool Comfort Meter in order to test our theories. And we found that, yes, we were getting very close to the same level of comfort as cotton, which is incredibly exciting for us because it means that when we make fabrics out of this merino, the quality and the hand feel and the way that it actually works on the skin is very similar to cotton. But you have the benefits of wool. You have the moisture management and the thermal management of wool, as well as the odor management and so on. So there's all the benefits that you get out of wool, but with 100% comfort.
And can you tell us a little bit, you don't necessarily have to name any brands, but what sort of, you know, retailers and brands were interested in Gostwick Merino?
Well, there was, interestingly, it started off with knitwear being more important than anything else. And the kind and the style of knitwear varied a great deal. It went from reasonably heavy garments at 300-350 grams to very light garments at 150-180 grams. But everyone realized that it was the softness, it was the next to skin comfort, and the fact that it was also machine washable that made it so different. So you ended up getting this cashmere hand feel, but it's machine washable, and it's very nice and comfortable to wear, and much better at keeping your thermal qualities next to skin better. In other words, it can keep you cool if it's hot out there, or it can keep you warmer when you're in colder temperatures. So those factors, and the fact that you didn't have to wash it any more than once every five times you wear it or even more, meant it was easy to care for. It was now, again, even more important for the environment because you are not using fewer detergents, you are using less water, less electricity, and if it's keeping you a little bit warmer, it means you can keep that indoor temperature a little bit high, a little bit lower, and not needing to heat things up as much or to cool things up as much. So those kind of benefits are extremely valuable to retailers and the range of garments that they can produce. It's also now going back into wovens and the quality of woven fabrics are exceptionally good, and there's ranges of those fabrics that are hitting the market now. But also hand knitting yarns at 16 micron was a first for a Hong Kong company. And those yarns have been selling very well. Everything had been selling very well. And one of the retailers, in fact, sold close to 100,000 garments in about 3.5 months. People loved them so much.
Wow, that's an amazing number. And another thing that I really like about your Goswick Merino brand is also your website, where you give, you know, anyone who wanted to find out more about the farm some details and insights on how things are managed, etc. Is that something you think more consumers want to know, and something you would recommend for farmers to also have their own website and talk about how they do things on their farm?
Yes, look, all those kind of things take a great deal of time and energy in order to get them right, but once a few people do it, then I'm sure that other people can copy it as well. And as far as I'm concerned, they're very welcome to copy as much as they want to from our website, which is goswick.com. It takes a great deal of effort. A lot of graziers in this country and other countries are just so busy with their day-to-day work that it's not easy for them. And I think anyone who does it, who is also working full-time on their farm, is so committed that I have the greatest respect for them. I think it's important to do it. I think it's important that if you want to provide consumers with more information, with all the information on how, say, our 100% Goswick Merino is grown, show them the videos of what happens in the shed, show them the videos of what happens on the farm itself, what the sheep are doing, how they're moved, how we manage to reduce stress for animals and provide them with better nutrition, easy access to water, and all those kind of things, then it's important to inform our consumers or the consumers using those garments as much as possible. We also make sure that if anyone is interested of coming on the farm, that we show them around, we show them why we do things and how we do it, and provide as much detail as we possibly can.
Yeah, and I think nowadays consumers are often so far removed from agriculture because most people live in cities and don't ever see any live animals besides maybe their cat and their dog. So yeah, I think there's a big disconnect, and by giving people the opportunity to experience farming and what it's like to shear sheep, etc., I think that is very important for consumers to get a better understanding about the products that they wear and how they are being created. So I think that's a great
correct thing. And look we shear the sheep once a year, but we have to feed them and water them every single day. So the work is in making sure that we look after their well-being at all times, and that everything we do, including all the electronics and those things that we install on the farm, are always related to making sure that if there's a problem anywhere, that we know about it as quickly as possible, because you're responsible for their lives. And we need to be able to react quickly, make sure they're well, and then monitor them as often as we can, and no less than twice a week. So that's where the work goes in growing wool. And a lot of people don't realize that when you're looking after thousands of animals, then it's a big responsibility. It's you're doing in the open air, in very nice surroundings most of the time. But yes, regardless of the weather conditions or regardless of the situation, you need to always make sure that you are looking after every animal that you have on your farm.
Yes, and that is, as you said, a full-time job for the farmers who not maybe have the luxury like you do of having a farm manager and need to do everything their own. And another another topic I wanted to you mentioned earlier as well that you just recently started your own apparel label called Henry and Grace, and as you mentioned, it's a baby and maternity wear label. What motivated you to start into this new adventure? And tell us a little bit more about it.
Well, look, we saw the quality of garments that were being produced and the way that the wool was behaving and the level of comfort that was there, that we realized that with our 15 micron range, it was ideal for the most sensitive of skins. And the most sensitive of skins became quite obvious that it was babies, as well as some adults that have a great deal of sensitivity to any prickle. So we looked at what was happening in the market and found that there was such a very small amount of merino being used in the baby wear and maternity wear in industry or retail area, thought that maybe we should look at producing some garments for this market sector. Like all things, if you know how hard it is in order to get there, you probably would never start. But we did start, and we have enjoyed quite a lot of the process, but we have now reached a point where we have launched an online site, an online sales site that offers a small range of baby wear and maternity wear using 15 micron merino. And as far as I know, we're the first people to do this in the world. And we hope that in time it'll get to be known as being a brand that you can trust for having total provenance of where its fiber comes from, but also that total comfort and the terminal moisture management that you need in order to keep babies and mothers to be comfortable. It's that comfort level and properties of wool that will, we believe, help babies sleep better, be more comfortable, and also be much better and much healthier for their mothers as well.
And I think there's also a very nice story behind the name Henry and Grace. What is the story behind that?
Well, the name Henry and Grace comes from my wife's ancestors who first settled on Gostwick, Henry Dengar and his wife Grace. And we thought it was a lovely name and appropriate, and it has meaning for us. It won't have very much meaning for a lot of people, but we thought that we should honor the people that started the farm and put in so much work and effort into establishing it.
Yeah, no, I think that was a really nice story. And yeah, I think also both those names work very well in today's modern times. So before we wrap up, what is the best way for our listeners to find out more about you and Gostwick Merino Wool?
Well, certainly the Gostwick website is the easiest way to find out more about us, and that is www.gostwick.com, and that's G-O-S-T-W-Y-C-K. And the Henry and Grace website is henryandgrace.com. It's quite easy to find us. And by all means, anyone who wishes more information is very welcome to contact us by email or by phone or any other means.
Great. And we'll also make sure that we link to both those websites on the show notes so that it's even easier for people to find you. And yeah, I really want to thank you for your time, Philip. I am curious to see what all other great things will be coming from you in the future, and I wish you much success for all the different businesses that you run with Gostwick Merino.
Thank you very much, and thank you for your interest. And as I said, if we are here to help anyone who is interested, and we have no secrets. Anyone who wants to know what we do is very welcome to come and visit us or just ask the questions.
Great. Thank you and have a good day. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode with Philip Attard. If you want to find out more about Philip and his businesses, Gostwick Merino, as well as his new label, Henry and Grace, then please visit the Wool Academy show notes at elizabethvandelden.com/021. Once again, all information can be found at elizabethvandelden.com/021. If you enjoyed today's episode, please do us a big favor and give us a rating on iTunes. This will help other people find the Wool Academy podcast more easily. Thank you.